Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the ice hockey podcast for Chelmsford Chieftain fans. This is episode 13. It is now too late to say Happy New Year, and we've got another jam-packed episode for you. This week we've got the match reports from the Oxford City Stars road trip. We've also got the match report from the Real Essex Derby as the Raiders Junior descended onto the Riverside again. We've also got our exclusive coach's thoughts, a roundup of the other results in the NRHL 1, Warriors results, hit of the week, and some special guests. Firstly, we'll be getting stripey as we are joined by two Elite League referees, as we are joined by James Irons and Stephen Matthews. It'll be really interesting to get their perspective on the game of hockey, doing the hardest job in the fastest sport in the world. And after starring in Teammates for us over the Christmas period, number 93 Dan Hitchens is joining me to discuss his hockey career, his time at Chelmsford, and answering your questions. So we'll start with the short notice rearranged trip to the Oxpens to face Oxford City Stars. An open start at the Oxpens with both teams feeling their way back in after the 2 week break. But it was the home side who drew first as Lorday broke down the left and whilst blocked in on the boards by two Chieftains, he reversed the pass into Hedges all alone in the slot and he finished top shelf pass check on 5.56. It went from bad to worse for the visitors as a good play from Oxford saw Hedges' shot tipped in at close range by Lorday and the host led 2-0 on 7.44. Chelmsford's defencemen were on hand as the puck seemed to be bouncing off of check and causing havoc in the defensive zone. Towards the end of the first, Chieftain's pressure finally cracked Ross Miller as Cam Bartlett fed Grant Bartlett at the top of the slot and his slap shot flew through the five hole of the Welsh netminder for 2-1 at 18.27. The Chieftains pushed hard for the remainder of the first but failed to find the equaliser and the first finished 2-1. At the start of the second, the Chieftains got straight back on the attack and on 24.29, Cam Bartlett's shot was stopped by Miller but Grant was there on the rebound to make it 2-2. On 31-39, the Stars retook the lead when Shannon Taylor, now wearing 13 after a wardrobe malfunction, shot wide of Czech's right pipe and as the puck came off the boards at a 45-degree angle, he skated across the crease and finished backhanded past Czech, making it 3-2 to Oxford. And that's how the second period finished. Into the third, and another good move from Oxford at 45-27 after plenty of open play at the start, resulted in Lorday finding Abbott, who finished with class, and Oxford gave you the feeling that they thought they had it in the bag. At 49.55, a bit of a scuffle in the Oxford defensive zone saw Grant Bartlett and Joe Llewellyn both get two for roughing. Saunders called a timeout, and the Chieftains, with just 10 seconds to go in the 4-on-4, Dan Hitchens fed TJ Fillery, who finished brilliantly high across Miller, and whatever Saunders said in the timeout clearly worked. Chieftains continued to push and on 56-11, Ollie Baldock stole the puck in the neutral zone, skated round two and finished past Miller to make it 4-4 and into overtime we went. Chieftains started the overtime period the stronger with the Bartletts and Ethan Reid and created a good chance when Reid and Cam Bartlett went through 2-on-1 but Miller pulled out an absolutely world-class save. But at just 1.37, Ollie Baldock, with almost a carbon copy goal of the equaliser, got the Chiefs to 2 points, earned with a spirited fight backs from 2-0 and 4-2 down, and an overtime win should leave the whole team upbeat and right up for an Essex derby at the packed-out Riverside. Another home sellout at the Riverside as ice hockey returns to Chelmsford for the first time in 2023. Raiders Junior were the visitors for the third Essex derby of the season and it was one apiece so far and this affair started with the Chieftains firmly in control. Having plenty of the puck and plenty of chances to try and beat the returning Sonny Phillips who got a fantastic reception from the home fans. The game's first goal came on 9.59 after Dan Fay fed Grant Bartlett down the left and he swooped in from the circles and finished top shelf past Sonny Phillips. Less than 30 seconds later, Raiders had a power play opportunity as Pentecost was sent to the box for holding a stick, but the Chiefs killed the penalty. On 13:02, Chieftains extended their lead as the released Pentecost slipped in Cam Bartlett, who smashed home for 2-0. The first appeared to be going all Chieftains' way until a slight lapse in concentration let Canis slip in Anderson, and he squared for Marco Pascali, who squeezed the finish under Luca Tassadri. End of the first, 2-1. The second started in feisty fashion, and on 22:25, Chris Beckett was given 5 for boarding Ellie Wakely. Then on 23:07, Ollie Baldock was given 2 for slashing, and the Chiefs had to kill 2 minutes of 5-on-3. They did so with full success and got a power play themselves when Thomas Wilson got 2 for slashing on 26:27, but the Raiders killed that one off. The period went by with no further goals, but another penalty for Callum Burnett saw the Chieftains on the kill for nearly 12 minutes of the 20. Into the third period, and Anderson was beginning to run the game for Raiders, and his influence was being felt all over the ice. This bore fruit for the Raiders when Nathan Long equalised on 51:10, even-handed and unassisted. Seconds later, Elliot Dervish was boxed for boarding, and then shortly after that, Chelmsford regained the lead on the power play when Grant spread the puck to Cam and his slap shot was tipped in by Matty Turner. A minute later, Archie Salisbury was boxed for holding and Marco Pascali for roughing, both on 53:38, and the Raiders bench received 2 for abuse of officials. Chieftains nearly settled the tie when Ethan Reid and Cam Bartlett combined to release Grant, who went mono a mono with Sonny Phillips, but smashed the puck against the crossbar. Cam Bartlett was sent to the box on 55:14 for cross-checking, and on 55:33, in the 4-on-4, Anderson won a turnover in the neutral zone, went down the Raiders' left, passed across the crease, where Karakouskas tipped the puck over the line, and we had 3-3. Into overtime we went. Chieftains dominated the early part of overtime, starting again with the Bartlett brothers and Ethan Reid, and pushed the Raiders back using a patient approach. Raiders broke a couple of times 2-on-1 and drew some truly top-draw, world-class saves from Luca Tassadri, including a point-blank glove save that would not have looked out of place in any NHL game. However, 3:59 into overtime, Marco Pascali took the puck coast-to-coast, down the right, and smashed a finish over to Tassadri's blocker, and the Raiders stole the victory. The final Essex derby of the season will take place at the Sapphire on March the 11th, and who knows, a playoff quarter final could possibly be in the future as well. 2 games going into overtime this week, so some heavy legs on Monday morning, I'm sure. For me, the away game at Oxford showed signs that the Christmas break didn't really do us any favours, but I think that our quality through the roster got us through in the end, and a very dominant overtime display. The Raiders game was a funny old game, elements of it that were very much a derby game with a lot of physicality, but there was times where the game felt slightly pedestrian. Definitely felt like a point lost rather than a point gained, but 3 points from 4 is a 75% weekend, and there's not many better outcomes than that. So let's get Mark Saunders' view on the weekend's games.
Yeah, to summarise over the weekend, obviously we had that Oxford away game that was obviously a rescheduled fixture, so it ended up being a doubleheader weekend. The game away in Oxford, I thought that we were kind of patchy in parts, but we were obviously brilliant in parts as well. And it's about finding that consistency. I think we did really well to dig ourselves out of a hole, obviously going 2-0 down and then 4-2 down, and then to tie it up, I think with about 3 minutes left, and then win it in overtime. I think that's the most dominant we've looked in overtime. I was really pleased with how we played in overtime. Possibly expelled a little bit more energy than I would have liked to have done, but having the couple of weeks break over Christmas, it's always going to be a bit of a slow start getting into it. We're 2 points there on Saturday, which is what we're after, and then obviously throw form out the window. It's an Essex derby. Neither team needs an excuse to get up for that. There's numerous reasons to get up for an Essex derby. The Romford-Chelmsford games are huge games, and especially in front of a sellout, crowd in our building last night. We felt the energy, and I thought we got out to a really good start. Obviously going 2-0 up, and then unfortunately, a momentary lapse at the end of the first, and all of a sudden the period feels a little bit closer than it has been. I thought we were completely in control throughout that first period. Everyone's up, everyone's jovial, and then all of a sudden it's kind of, there was a bit of a mood change. It felt like a bit of a sucker punch, but we knew that we'd been very, very good for, 19 and a half minutes there. So, we felt like we weren't in trouble. Obviously that second period, littered with penalties. Our penalty kill has been very good and continues to be very good. So that's obviously pleasing. I'd like to not to have to use it as much as we did last night. But, you know, when it's there, you have to lean on it. And I thought the boys came through those penalties. I think we must have been, you know, killing for at least, you know, 10, 12 minutes of that period. You know, it's not a spot that we want to be in, but, you know, we got it done. And then to get into the third, and I think, the game really opened up, which is obviously, you know, great for the fans. Not so great to watch on the bench, to have it kind of go backwards and forwards a little bit like a tennis match. But yeah, again, in parts, I thought we were in control. You know, we've got our systems and we played them well in parts. And we know at times that, you know, where we need to sit, where we need to press, and how we do that. I think that we executed well in parts. And then obviously, you know, we end up 3-2 up just before the end, and then they tie it up late and take us to overtime. You know, two games in two nights of overtime, that's going to take it out of you. And when you're leaning on certain guys to get you through those late patches in games and get you through overtime periods, you know, guys are going to get tired. And again, I thought that was a good overtime period from both teams. You know, two teams very clear game plans and what they were going to do in overtime. You know, we were kind of wait, you know, going to sit and wait a little bit for our 2-on-1 when it came, and that was very much the message, the same as the Saturdays. You know, sit and keep puck and wait for a 2-on-1 and take that chance when you get it. You know, Romford were keen on playing man on man, so you kind of, you know, it's a battle of systems there. And you know, they get that break. That guy comes all the way around from behind the net. You know, we played the middle, clogged the middle, and you know, I think it was Marco Biscali comes all the way down that right hand side there. And you know, that's a great shot by him. You know, he stuck that on a postage stamp, and you know, it's just really unlucky. You know, there was a couple of huge saves, and Luca was absolutely brilliant last night. You know, some saves that were just kind of, you know, straight out the top drawer, and he's been very, very good of late. You know, and it's just that one lucky shot, you know, and that's what overtime is. It's what it's designed to do. You know, you get one lucky shot and that's it. If we'd have had that shot down the other end, or we grab a rebound, or it just squeaks underneath down the other end, then obviously the game's ours. But, you know, it feels like a bit of a sucker punch. But at the end of the weekend, we've come away with 3 points out of four, and that's a good haul for us. Yeah, we want to be winning those games, and yeah, we want to be winning at home. We want to be performing better. But I think, you know, with 4 points on offer, to take three of them, that's a good haul for us. And obviously, mind back on the cup campaign now. We've got, you know, obviously the semi-final against Slough home and away this weekend, which again, you know, that's another young, energetic team. And we need to hit our stride this weekend. Two really hard practices. A little bit more consistency in what our lineup looks like now. So we know what we're going to be looking at. We're going to work hard in practice, and we're going to take a good hard run at this Slough team. And, you know, very much the look is to stamp our place for
a final spot in February. So that's the plan this week, and that's what we're aiming for after next weekend, two games against Slough. So we look forward to seeing everybody in packing the rink in Slough and in Chelmsford at home on Sunday. So good week from us, and we look forward to seeing everybody next weekend.
Thank you to Mark Saunders for his thoughts on the weekend's games there, that 3-point weekend for the Chelmsford Chieftains. Other results then in the NIHL 1 on Saturday, the Solent Devils were beaten 6-4 at home by the Invicta Dynamos. That's a rehearsal for their Cup semi-final there. And the Raiders Junior lost 3-4 at home to the Milton Keynes Thunder as that game went to overtime. In the NIHL 2 on Saturday, the Warriors were defeated 6-0 at home by Swindon. Unfortunate result there for the Warriors. In the Sunday's games, Invicta Dynamos got themselves a 4-point weekend as they defeated Oxford City Stars by 5-3 down in Gillingham. Milton Keynes Thunder went to overtime again and got a 4-point weekend as they defeated Slough by 3-2. And the two top teams in the league went head-to-head at the High Road as Streatham Redhawks beat Solent Devils 3-2. First time in a long time that Solent have gone the whole weekend without winning. In the juniors for Chelmsford, the under-12 mini Chieftains got a 1-1 draw at Guildford, although they did play an extra period and Guildford ended up running out 4-2 victors. And the under-18s Mohawks got an incredible result, beating Peterborough by 13-1. So great result there for the under-18s. A little nudge as well, if you're interested in the results and the stats that we get from Chelmsford hockey games, that Simon Byrne has been doing some programming on the Chelmsford Chieftains website at chelmsfordchieftains.com. And if you click on the matches and the upcoming fixtures there and the results, there is stats galore. There is percentages on shots and penalties and goals. There's really in detailed stats about the goal scorers, the points, the assists. Some really fantastic stuff. So head over to chelmsfordchieftains.com and see all of those details down there. What we're going to do now is something we've not done yet. We've got two guys coming on at the same time. Both of these gentlemen are referees in the Elite League, so the professional level of our game in this country, in the UK. So we're going to have a chat now with Stephen Matthews and James Irons. James Irons and Steve Matthews, Elite League referees. How are we doing, gents?
Yeah, I'm well,
good,
thank you.
Good.
Not talking over each other, leaves it to each other.
Yeah.
Good start.
Lovely. Well, thank you for joining me on Zero Pucks Given. It's a real pleasure to get this different perspective on the game. James, I'll come to you first. How did you get into refereeing hockey?
Completely by accident, to be totally honest. Well, I say by accident, it was purposeful, but it was never my intention. I've played juniors, and then at the age of sort of 17, 18, found other things in life. Beer, women, cars, that sort of stuff. That was, at that time in my life, more exciting than ice hockey. Then I picked it back up again a few years later, played at a rec level. Tried out for ENL2 and was fortunate enough to make the team. But in all honesty, I was never good enough. I was absolutely terrible. I think I played one game. It was actually down at the Riverside. Saw 12 seconds of ice time and then took a look at it and thought, I need to do something else here. So thought about coaching or maybe just playing beer league pickup, sort of keep it fun.
Yeah.
And then there was a refs course advertised. So I honestly thought I'd just attend, take a look, maybe try it out. And here we are, 10 or 11 years later.
Oh, wow, fantastic. And you had that 12 seconds of ice time at the home of the Chieftains?
Yes, I think I got one end of the ice the other. That might be a lie. I might have covered two zones in 12 seconds. But
And Stephen, did you play the game as well and then get into it?
No, I've never played the game, to be fair. I've played roller hockey all my life, but never played league hockey on the ice. I've played a bit of rec hockey now for the last sort of 6-7 years, never played ice hockey in a competitive environment at all.
But then sort of fell into the refereeing, or
I was always a hockey fan. And then basically, like I said, seen advertised to be a referee, I could always sort of skate a little bit. And then just thought, why not give it a go? So I did. And then that's where it started, to be honest.
Yeah. It was noted to me recently, actually, by a couple of Chelmsford fans that had gone to see some Elite League and National League over the break where the 1 and 2, South and North, took a break, that the referees are just a lot quicker on the ice at that level. Would you say you both fit into that category?
I think we cheat more. No, mate, to be honest, I don't think we're personally quicker, because there is a couple of whippets referees on the ice at that level, where the Chieftains are, to be fair. But I think it's a totally different game. Is a four-man to a three-man is totally different. You just need to know where to be. You got to be in just the right position instead of skating 100 miles up the hour, up the ice, chasing the game. You've got to basically, as a four-man, you're waiting for the game to sort of come to you when you're skating backwards. So the game is a little bit faster. Don't get me wrong. And I just think that seems different, but it's a totally different perspective to go from a three man to a four man. Like, I haven't done a three man for a good few years. Wednesday, I know you have. How did you find the change?
I just think it's two totally different skates. Three man is just pursuit of play, and then if you're in a four man, you're sort of anticipating play, getting to the right position. I'm not sure I'd label us as much quicker. Maybe you could say we're more developed because we're working a higher level. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, the Elite League is professional, isn't it, for the players? Is it the same for you?
No. 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 I'll do a 12-hour shift on a building site and then go and ref a game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say 12 hours. Come on.
Yeah, no one else knows the truth.
Yeah.
There's not much difference between 6 and 12.
Yeah. Yeah, same for us. We still got to get up. Yeah, we travel back from wherever we are on a Saturday or Sunday. We got to get up then for our day jobs the next day.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a question I've got in there. Because Steve and I, you're based in Wales. James, whereabouts are you?
Yeah, I'm based in Wales too. I'm Cardiff-based.
So, I mean, do the Elite League mix it up or do you ref Cardiff all the time?
No, it's mixed up every time. We can go everywhere. So I'll let Steve get on and tell you his travel plans this weekend. But we work all over the country, from Cardiff to Scotland, Sheffield, Nottingham, Belfast, Wales, and then National League's the same. You can go as far up as Leeds, across to Hull, right down south to London Raiders, down in Romford there, and then you've got the teams along the M4 corridor. So yeah, rarely you're in the same two rinks. For myself, I've been located in just a few of the local rinks this year because I can't commit to traveling too much.
No.
But I know Steve travels a fair bit, and he's, where are you off this weekend, Fez?
Belfast this weekend. I got a double header in Belfast Friday and Saturday, and then I fly back and then go to Sheffield on Sunday.
Wow, that's quite a weekend, Steve.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, it'd be a busy one, but you know what I mean? We do it for the love of the game, I guess, don't we?
I take it the league, do they take care of your travel and your expenses where that's concerned?
Oh, yeah. They're pretty good. They'll sort your hotel for you out. You're allowed to sort your own flights out, which sort of accommodate you best.
Yeah.
And then yeah, you just put it on your expenses as you usually would.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, as you say, some of the distances that they have to travel, I mean, it's nothing compared to, you know, a country like America where the sport is very popular, but you know, have to fly everywhere there. But yeah, it's incredible distances that you guys travel, as well as some of the players do. Is it something that you think would grow the sport if there was more facilities in the country?
Without, we can say yes, without reservation. Mm-hmm. I can answer that for both of us. The more facilities, the more exposure, the more players involved, the more referees, the more coaches, the more volunteers, the more fans. There's more of everything. And it's a bit cliche, but strength in numbers. And you see what adding teams to a league does and how much stronger that league gets. And you could use that principle for facilities. You add more facilities, we'll just get stronger as a sport.
Yeah, I entirely agree. I think that considering how popular the sport is becoming, I think the infrastructure of it actually is now chasing its tail.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. And it's the same with trying to get referees on board as well. Referees in different parts of the country, which again, that would help massively. So we, you know what I mean, trying to get more referees on board, which will obviously help them with the traveling also.
It's a good time to plug your level one courses there, Jez.
Oh yeah. So I currently basically run the level one courses for new referees who want to get involved. So yeah, if anyone knows of any sort of, we struggle. The only thing we struggle with is trying to get ice time, because obviously we try to get, when we run the course, it's normally for a day's course, but we try to get sort of an hour or two ice time, so we can work on a bit of positioning. We can get to grips with people's skating abilities and stuff like that. But that's where we struggle to get the ice time, because nine times out of 10, rinks will have the ice time for junior games, public sessions, figure skating. So that's where we're struggling. So we've had one in Swindon already this year, just before Christmas, and we've got now one coming up in Scotland a week on Saturday. So if anyone does know of or can get any ice time in an ice rink, then please let me know, and I'll be more than happy to try and run a referee's course out of an ice rink anywhere in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, that, again, that just goes to what we say with the facilities, isn't it? I know teams struggle with ice time. I think there's actually an ice rink at the Sobel Leisure Centre in North London, and they don't have a hockey team playing out of there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that place.
No, I think it's literally about half a mile away from the Arsenal football stadium.
All right. Okay.
And there's a. Oh, James is back now. James just drops off quickly, but he's back.
Sorry.
But that's that shocked me to find out that they don't have a team playing out of there, but they have a rink.
Is it a decent size rink, or is it just one sort of?
It's fully marked up for ice hockey, but it's not the biggest.
Where is this?
Ah, okay.
This is North London, about a mile up from the Arsenal Stadium.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah, so obviously Haringey play out of Alexandra Palace.
Yeah.
Up that way. Excuse me. But so when you obviously you get your assignments and whatnot, do they assign you guys your numbers, or have you picked them yourselves?
Contentious subject for me.
for me, I was just lucky enough to get one. I literally just got given what I was given, and then this year when we had new shirts, I basically just stuck with the same one.
Yeah. And
James,
77
James
for you, don't like it.
No, 77 is my number. So when I was a linesman, that's what I elected. And then now I've changed to being a referee. I've got to have a trainee number. So I regretfully have to wear 47 rather than 77 until I've done my time all over again. And then by that time, hopefully no one's taken the number 77 and I get to have it back on a referee shirt.
Do you prefer the ref or the ref role or the line role?
I think I don't want to get too corny or cliche with it, but I think what made me fall in love with officiating was probably being on the line and being so hands-on and involved in the game, dropping pucks, splitting up scrums, fights, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But now I'm refereeing. I think my head, as I get a bit older, lends me more towards that role rather than a linesman. I enjoy that. I enjoy it a lot more, if I'm totally honest, because it's still new to me. I'm sort of a season and a half in now, or a season, if you like. It's. I don't really have much fun when you're just doing a job. So it's fun to be learning. It's fun to challenge myself. And obviously, it's fun to be so new to it and working in the top two leagues in the country. So quite lucky in that sense, but I've also worked hard to get there. So it's fun to keep learning, stay there and challenge yourself at the same time. So I guess it's like a big equation of it brings it round to referee and being more fun for me now.
Yeah, oh, that's nice to hear that. Referee takes fun in it because it's a thankless job at the end of the day, isn't it?
Oh, we have fun. It's not all doom and gloom, it's not all abuse, it's not all players shouting at you, it's not all mistakes. There's a lot of fun in it as well. It's tough. We're away from our families a hell of a lot. Our families sacrifice so much for us to be able to do it, and that's sometimes the hardest part of the job for me. But it certainly is. We have just as much fun as the team you support and the team the next man supports and the next lady supports and the next kid supports. Like, we're exactly the same in principle. We just have a different role in the game.
Yeah, and it's something I've actually seen in a lot of the sports that I've sort of watched, a couple that I've partaken in. The refs will give it back in ice hockey, which is absolutely brilliant to see. I mean, the way that football and the way football is refereed and the way they behave is, I think, it's disgusting. but the ref never seems to get it back. But in hockey, I mean, especially Sunday, we had quite a fiery game at home Sunday, but Essex Derby with Raiders second side. And the amount of times that it was just about to kick off, but the ref just, he wouldn't take it and he'd have a go back. And I think it keeps it calm.
I think sorry, I feel like I'm answering everything here, folks, but
yeah.
I think there's,
I'm used to it now.
Well, you'll only get it wrong anyway.
Yeah, probably.
I think there's a time and a place for it. There's times you've got to call penalties. There's times you've got to give it back. It's about being measured, knowing who you're talking to, and people knowing your approach as well. Would you agree with that, Fez?
Yeah, I think you can give it back to certain players, but then certain players need to know when there's a time to listen. There's a time to listen, not to answer back, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm always for one for giving it back to them rather than calling a penalty, because sometimes 9 times out of 10 is just frustration, and then the only person they can take it out on is you. But you know what I mean? You'll probably see 9 times out of 10, 10 minutes later, that person will come up to you and say, oh, look, do apologise for you know what I mean, for chirping in there. I didn't mean it, but I appreciate you not, you know what I mean, penalising me or anything like that. And you know what I mean? And that's where you sort of build a rapport where it's a lot easier to manage a game that way, if that makes sense.
Do you have an idea, Stephen, on what the most random penalty you've had to give is?
Random penalty? Oh, Jesus. I tell you, it's not a random... As in, what do you mean? In what way a random penalty? Something that you don't get called very often?
Yeah,
or?
Something that you don't see very often. Yeah, like a...
I haven't really called a random one myself, but I can tell you a story about someone who has, about what happened.
Yeah, go on.
I won't name the official, but they don't officiate anymore. But No, they don't. There was one where a said official called a penalty. It was on a local team close to yourself down there, on the crowd. So he penalised the team because the crowd has given him a bit too much stick.
Yeah. Well, that can't possibly have been us.
No, it was the other side of Essex in the old rink that they had down there.
Yeah. Enough said.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think I've handed out any sort of random ones. I've made a few sort of mistakes, yeah.
Yeah, plenty of them. Plenty.
Yeah. I remember a team scoring into their own net with a high stick, and for some unknown reason I disallowed it.
Yeah,
that happened in a game in MK once. Sold it well.
Have you had any random ones, James?
No, mine are good, mate. I don't make mistakes, don't have random penalties. Everything's just generally run of the mill and pretty good.
No, we both know that's not true.
Stephen, I'll come to you again. What's the worst thing that's happened while you've been refereeing? Has there ever been like an injury incident or something?
I've never been injured. Touch wood.
Don't skate. The worst.
Enough. Yeah, that's more experience. That is, mate. Just experience. Nowhere to go. Worst thing I've probably done is one was actually in the Riverside. It was a Chieftains Invicta game. So this is where I haven't been to the new rink in the new layout. We used to come out down by the Zamboni, the referees did. Is that still a case with the away fans?
No, that's not. No? The Zamboni comes in from the other side now. So the...
Right. So
since,
where we
since
used
COVID, we've kind of got two entrances into the rink now.
Okay. So it was down that end. It was an Invicta game, I think it was. So just the away fans were around that part as well, where they had to move out where they were standing so the Zamboni can get back on. So we come out with, it was a 3-man system, come out with the other two linos. We give a little fist bump, big, big game today. Yo, scout, go hard. I went straight out on the ice and fell straight on my ass. No one had my skate guards on. So, yeah, that I've done that a few times, but thankfully no injuries, touch wood.
That'd be interesting to see if there's any Chieftain fans that will remember that happening.
Oh, can you imagine? But, yeah. I could tell you about an injury that happened to someone who was on the podcast with us now when I was refereeing a game.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah, tell that story.
So it was a beer league game in Swindon, I think it was, and a certain Irons was playing for a Cardiff team, and I didn't really know him that well at the time, and he had a lot to say for himself, to be fair. And then there was a stoppage of play, and something happened. I turned around, and he's got a face full of blood. And do you want to take it from here and tell what happened?
Yeah, I'll wind it back a bit and tell the truth as well if you want.
Go on then.
The game had been going on. Stephen was the referee, and he was known to the boys, so we were giving him a bit of nothing out of the ordinary, just a little bit of banter, a bit of hassle, I suppose. I may have taken it a little bit too far at times, and then the incident happens that he definitely not got his back turned. He's 100% looking at it. The puck gets flicked up, splits me under the nose, right down through my lips, so my lips flapping about and there's blood everywhere. And he just pleads absolute ignorance, saying he didn't see it. So I'm off to hospital to get stitches, and this guy's still wheeling about in a rec game, and Fezzy didn't call because he didn't like me.
That's about the gist of it, yeah. And here we are now.
I still bear the scars for today.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's the sort of game that you need to bear scars, otherwise you haven't been involved in it properly.
Oh, exactly. I don't know. I'd rather not have them.
Have you both still got both your all your teeth?
Yes.
Yes, thankfully.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
So leaving the gap of miles to the players.
Yeah. Thankfully, I haven't had any sort of wayward pucks just yet.
No, I've managed to stay out of the way, and hopefully I'll leave the game with all my teeth. That's probably the primary aim, because not a lot of people do.
No, I think they wait till they're done, don't they, before they get any dental work done. But we've had one of our guys who's had the same tooth done three times, and now he's just said, you know what, I'm leaving it till I'm done.
That's costly.
It is indeed, yeah. Yeah, the way dentists go nowadays, we're all in the wrong job.
Mm. Oh, bet.
So do any of you have a team that you follow in this country or in the NHL?
The NHL, I do. I'm sort of a Maple Leafs fan in the NHL. Over here, not so much.
I think not at all is the right answer, mate.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. But, you know, if you let me finish my sentence, I was going to say I'm just a fan of the hockey. But yeah, I don't have any team's bed sheets on my bed. Let's put it that way.
No. Do you follow the NHL, James?
No, not at all. I could probably count on one hand how many NHL games I've watched. They've probably all been Winter Classics. I don't really get a kick out of watching it on TV. I know we're messing around, but yeah, we're both massive hockey fans in the sport, and I'm sure I can speak for Steve as well, that we both watch hockey every day, if we could.
Yeah.
So yeah, no given teams. Obviously, we are completely impartial, as much as people like to beg to differ. But as for hockey fans, yeah, we're massive hockey fans. We love hockey as much as you love your team, is the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, which is the way it should be. I don't think you can really officiate a game that you don't care about.
Oh, definitely. There's nothing better for us when you get a top of the table clash and it's just real fast, skillful hockey. Like, yeah, we love that as much as you in the stands. It might not look that way because we've got a job to do, but the longer we can stay out of that and we get the best seat in the house and we can just be part of a real good high-end speed, high-end skill game, it's perfect for us.
Yeah, fantastic. Have you got a... I would take it probably from past rather than present, so you weren't showing any favouritism, but the best player that you've seen on the ice when you've been reffing?
Well, it definitely wasn't James Irons, that's for sure.
Shut up. You've got hands like feet.
Do you want me to go first, or you?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
From like an old school one, I think the best player you stand and watch as a referee, I think it would be Jonathan Weaver.
Yeah.
The way he like passes the puck, the vision he's got, and to do it all while giving you a mouthful as well, which is pretty decent to be fair. No, but yeah, he's a top guy as well. So yeah, I think watching like him, he's something else to be fair.
Right. James, you got your mind in gear?
Yeah, no, I'm still thinking to be honest. But like if we bring it to sort of National League and then the NL leagues where Steve and I have worked most together, imports they sort of come and go, they're all skillful, right? But he's probably right. Someone like a Jonathan Weaver, the way, again, we're answering the same question, but the way he sees the ice, the way he conducts himself, apart from when he's given Steve a mouthful, the way he controls the game is fantastic. And then you've got guys like in Swindon, Aronel, prolific scorer for years and years and years. That's quite fun to watch. And you've got that up and down the country. Now you've got Kieran Brown in Leeds doing his thing. Cole Shudra, Matty Hayward, who's formerly of the Elite League down there. You've got a new era of them coming through now. But I suppose I would consider myself lucky to have seen all these players rather than pick one out and say he was the best.
Yeah.
So what about down in the NIHL one then? Are there any sort of standout players that you've seen at all that you think could sort of make the next step up? Or
Of the young ones, yeah. We've got a lad at Chelmsford called Archie Salisbury.
Didn't he just have a go with Nottingham?
He's on a two-way from Peterborough with us, but he signed a senior contract at Peterborough now, and then he was immediately loaned out to the Panthers for a weekend. Yep. He's... His defenseman, I think he's just 17. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's always good to it.
Yeah. Just to see his poise on the ice. He never looks flustered. And the way he puts his body on the line to stop shots is absolutely unreal.
Didn't I read the other day he had a bit of a scrap or something?
He did. I think it was our away game at Slough just before Christmas. Again, it was probably to sort of pick on your guys on the Zebras that from what I've understood with a lot of the people from the game, there was a little bit of sort of narky stuff happened early on and it wasn't stamped out. So it just got worse and worse and worse.
Don't believe it.
Yeah.
So I think it was three fights kicked off in total. Two got ejected from the game, plus game bans, and a couple just got five each. In his very first game for us when he was just 16, he got into a tilt with a really big guy from Streatham Hockey Club, and we all thought, yeah, this kid's got it.
Oh, fair play. I'm sure we're reffing Peterborough in a couple of weeks, so hopefully he'll be lining up for him.
It could well be. Yeah, we're getting quite a lot of him actually, which is quite good. It's unfortunately, I don't think he'll end up with us. I think he will end up in the Elite League.
Yeah.
But that'd be brilliant for him. We did have on the, not with youngers, but last season, one of our imports, Stanislas Laszczyk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Stano.
He was drafted with Tampa, wasn't he? I think in 2005.
Was he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was drafted in Tampa. I don't think he ever made an NHL appearance. But he was drafted by Tampa. And he's just to watch him is absolutely unbelievable.
He knows where the net is, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, he was only with us for 6 months. He won Player of the Season from the supporters. I've got his name on the back of my jersey, and he's gone.
He
was just absolutely unreal. The chemistry we had actually with him towards the end of last season, with a couple of our younger lads who love scoring goals, he could just do it blindfolded.
Bloody hell!
But that's the level of experience. I think he's 38, 39 now. I did hear he wanted to come back to us, but we've got two imports this year, so we can't have him.
Haven't you got an import goalie? You got Peter Cech, haven't you?
We have, yeah. I'm not entirely sure how it's all working as to whether he plays home games or away games. I know we've sold the rink out quite a few times since we've signed him, but our other netminder is an under-18 GB hopeful, and he's also incredible.
Is that Luca?
Luca Tassadri.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry, I didn't want to mispronounce his name. I was hoping you'd help me out. Yeah, yeah. I saw him last year when, or maybe the year before when, maybe Chelmsford did play Cardiff and I was refereeing that game. The kid's a talent, 100%.
Yeah, I think he was with the Warriors most of last season.
And he's super fun as well. He's actually a pretty funny dude.
He is. I've had him on the podcast. He was on episode 4 of the podcast with me. And he's...
Oh, go back and listen to that.
He's such a nice lad. You can tell he's been brought up really well. He loves hockey. He loves having a laugh. He loves sport in general. But when it comes to game time and taking it seriously, he knows how to take it seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we need is these GB netminders coming through, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. I mean, looking forward to that World Championships in April. I think we've got a lot of good young players. There is a guy at Milton Keynes, Malik Martelli.
Yeah, well aware.
We've come across him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he was at Streatham last season, so we saw quite a bit of him. That was when our season started again. And they were starting to announce signings. And me and my daughter, who goes, she's 12. And I said, who do you want us to sign? First thing she said was Malik Martelli.
Oh, bless.
So I said, unfortunately, I think he's going up.
You ended up with Lids.
Yeah. And Lids has gone now, unfortunately. He's gone to Brazenstoke.
He's a booty, he is. Absolute booty.
Yeah, it was terrific to watch Lids, actually. I sort of commented with a couple of the other guys. Where I see it, I get to see our defensive set up twice. And I watch him because he just knows exactly what he's doing. And probably on the blind side of you guys, but you probably know exactly what he's doing as well, but you can't do anything about it.
100%. One of the nicest guys you'd ever come across on the ice.
And he fits in the category of, he hasn't lost a tooth. He's lost most of his teeth. He's paid his dues to the sport, bless him.
Yes, yeah. Some of the guys would say about him that he just loves getting hit by pucks.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, he just doesn't care how hard, where they come from. He just loves getting hit by the puck.
Jesus.
Good for that guy. I don't want to try that out.
No. So with the amount that you guys sort of get about and travel then, have you got a favourite rink, be it for the facilities or for the atmosphere?
Can we go with the coldness, maybe? How cold is not?
Go league by league, Fez. Do one national, one elite league.
Oh, elite league, I'd have to say probably Nottingham. Just because of the all-round facilities there. They look after you. Nice ice, you know what I mean? Lovely arena. National League, you can't look no further than NK for me.
Yeah.
Again, they get a big old crowd down there and they get going as well, and that's loud. So, yeah, again, good facility. The only thing you don't get is signal. That's an easy.
No, none at all. We had the playoff finals there last season. And yeah.
That's it, yeah.
No chance of posting updates anywhere.
No, that's the only bad thing about it. But, yeah. What about you, Twos?
I'll start with National League. So, yeah, I'd go with MK, but you've got Bristol there now. I'm not sure. Their facility's nice. The referees' facilities are not so nice. The room's a bit of a dump. But in terms of facilities, they're a new franchise. They sell out pretty regular. And it's a loud building when they get going. They've got like horns wired up to DeWalt cordless drills. I don't know how they do it, but it is so loud in there. And that's pretty cool. It's the same sort of ilk as Milton Keynes. So probably those two in the National League.
Yeah, I think a lot of these Planet Ice buildings are kind of designed in the same way, aren't they? And they...
Yeah.
A lot of the newer ones. Not Planet Ice Gosport or Gillingham. They're not designed in that way.
Yeah, exactly. And then I actually think the best arena in the Elite League all round is Belfast by a mile. It really is something else. It's unbelievable. I've been over there when they kind of have horseshoe seating, and then when it sells out, they add the extra, the other side of the horseshoe, if that makes sense, to make an arena. And I've been there when they've sold out the horseshoe, added that in, and it's pretty much sold out. And that's special. That's I wouldn't know the exact capacity. I'd probably hazard a guess at around 8,000, 9,000, maybe 10,000 with that extra seating. Loud Irish fans. That's pretty cool. But yeah, you've got good facilities again in Nottingham, Cardiff, Sheffield, and even some of the older arenas like Guildford and Coventry. They've got character. They're not the best facilities. They're not the nicest to get changed in. The showers are not warm, but that's kind of what makes them a good arena.
Yeah. As you say, the character.
There's still a lot of room in British ice hockey for those old arenas.
Mm.
I mean, it helps if they have blue lines. There's one or two that don't.
I think as well, aren't the blue lines at Bristol, are they inconsistent between the floor and the wall, aren't they?
Yes. I don't know the full story, but it looks like they've put the boards in first, incorrect, or maybe manufacturers got it wrong, and then they put the ice down and moved the blue lines to where they actually should be.
Yeah.
So, the neutral zone's tiny, but the end zone's a regulation size.
Yeah, it's a funny one. That is a funny one.
Yeah, it looks funny, to be fair.
I don't know. Nottingham are getting the arse at the moment because they're getting kicked out from the boxing, aren't they, in February?
Yes, I did see that, yeah.
Yeah,
one of the games has to be rearranged, yeah.
Yeah, and as much as I love the boxing, I think if the arena's booked, it's booked. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, well, you have to look at that from, although it sucks, right? We're three hockey fans sat here talking. What makes more money? It's really that simple.
Yeah, it's not a mad fighting as well that night. So it's
It's Lee Wood.
It's Lee Wood, yeah. I'm sure he'll sell it out.
Exactly. Yeah. So he'll sell it out. Wet sales will be ridiculous. Ticket prices will be through the roof. I don't know the business side of it, but it probably makes 10 or 15 times what hockey does. So I think it's lovely to play in those big posh arenas. But if you do, things like this happen, and that's natural. That's business, right? It's not as if they're not going to be able to play that game. But unfortunately, it's only happened once this year, to my knowledge. If you go back a few years and look at Sheffield, they used to actually split their time between Sheffield Arena and Ice Sheffield, which they don't now because they actually get a lion's share of the dates and they work it well. They've got a great relationship with the arena there. And then they get to mainly keep their gates and the games in the arena as much as they can. But obviously that comes with some sacrifices and sometimes they're to bigger events. And I think that's just the nature of the beast. And as long as all those events can work together and can all go ahead, I'm a fan of everything.
Excellent. I have one final question for the two of you because it's something that I always post when I do the updates on our home games on Twitter. I will always put a picture of a zebra when I give the names of the refs. Do you guys like that or do you find it offensive?
Go ahead first.
I know. As in a picture of the refs themselves. Yeah, you take a picture.
No. I list their names and I put a little gif of a zebra breakdancing.
Nah, not at all, mate. That's all fun. That is, we've got a guy in the National League who does a bit of Andrew Day. He does a bit of tweeting over the league, I think it is. And whenever we do games and he's there, he actually takes pictures of us and puts them on there. I'm all for it, mate. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
No one should get really offended by that, to be honest.
No, we do have a fan who tends to take a picture of the back of one of the referees.
I've seen a couple of names.
And he always create a phrase with their name in the middle of it.
We've had a couple of these floating around the referees. A couple of the boys have been sending them around. One of them was Saw. There was JP had one. Saw, he sent me he was there with someone with. And then Kenny George was in. Someone put Asda Price above it or something like that, wouldn't they?
Something
like that? Yeah. Oh, this is hilarious.
Kenny George's Twitter account. Chops are legendary.
Legendary. They're legendary with the boys as well.
Yeah.
He's famous.
Well, they make us laugh.
I think he shaved them off, actually. I think it was just a couple of months before Christmas, and then he was back at Arik again, and they were back.
Oh, yeah, you could shave them off on Monday. They'll be back by Tuesday.
Yeah, probably by lunchtime on Monday.
Yeah.
But he sleezes and they come back.
Yeah, I take it from all this, you guys as a group, the referees, you guys have a good camaraderie between you.
Yeah, I think we fit into, obviously geography plays a massive part in that. We get together once a year at a national conference. That's our training. And I get together, we get updated on what's going on within the section, any rule changes, any processes, any manuals we need to go through. So that's that on a national scale, that's how we get together. But I think geography sort of puts pay to that being all year round. So then we're quite localized in sort of WhatsApp groups and guys you work with regular. But yeah, there's a good social side to it too. It's maybe not just the Saturday and Sunday people think it is. We're all friends outside.
Yeah.
So yeah, socially, it's as good as it is professionally.
Are you both working this weekend?
Yeah,
I'm flying to Belfast on Friday, and you've then got
Belfast, Sheffield, haven't you?
No, yeah, Belfast Saturday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sheffield on Sunday.
And yourself, James?
Right now you're asking questions. I think I mean
you normally have to tell someone else to tell him where he is.
Yeah, my mum usually reminds me on a Friday. Yeah. I am in Swindon on Saturday, and then I believe Telford on Sunday.
That's a National League weekend for you.
Yeah, so I only work a couple of games a month in the Elite League. I've still got to do my time and earn the right to be there for more than a part-time role.
Lovely. Well, anyone catching up with the Elite League on Viaplay this weekend? Keep your eyes peeled for 52. When he's in Belfast and Sheffield, and keep your eyes peeled on any YouTube then for James if he's got his National League weekend. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I've really enjoyed this chat we've had. It's so nice to get your perspective on the game that we all love.
Anytime. Thanks for having us on. Hopefully,
not a problem at all. An insight.
Yeah, no, they're often the forgotten men because you know without you guys there ain't a game. So. Yes, we truly thank you for doing what you do.
Cheers,
mate. Not a problem at all, mate. Not a problem.
Wonderful, gentlemen. Well, hopefully I'll speak to you again at some point. Both, hope you have good weekends. And thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
Cheers, guys. Bye. Thank you so much to Stephen and James for joining me on Zero Pucks Given. What a really interesting perspective on hockey. A good bit of banter with the guys as well. So now we're going to go to this week's Hit of the Week. This week's Hit of the Week then is taken from the Essex Derby on Sunday at home to Romford Juniors. It was in the third period as I think it was Elliot Dervish was there for the taking. Kieran Rayner steamed in to get him but missed him and got Ross Clark. Absolutely nailed him, sent him down to the deck. So apologies to Ross. But Kieran's got to take it this week. Kieran Rayner, Hit of the Week. Hit of the Week. Now we're going to have a chat with one of our new players for this season. Top young man, 93, Dan Hitchens.
Chieftains.
Number 93.
Dan Hitchens, how are we doing, fella?
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm really well, mate. Thanks for coming on Zero Pucks Given.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Lovely. So, where did you make your start and what got you into ice hockey?
I started at Old Rob Valley Way. I was probably, between 8 and 10, I think. 8 or 9, I think I was. My sister started doing figure skating lessons to learn how to skate. And then one of the lessons down there once, I saw the hockey on. I thought I'd give it a go. So, yeah, it was quite good, actually.
I obviously enjoyed it and carried on playing for many years yet.
Yeah. Were you quite a natural on the ice?
Well, first of all, I learned in figure skates. Until my first ever hockey session, I went on in figure skates. And then, yeah, it didn't go down too well.
No, toe picks in the way and whatnot.
Yeah.
So you're local lad to Romford Way, are you?
Yeah, yeah. I live a couple of minutes away from the new building.
Oh, right. Oh, lovely. So there's not too much travelling for you then for home games, and certainly a close away game for you.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all, really, coming down to Chelmsford. It's a nice little journey. I do it every day for work anyway.
Yeah. Is there still that rivalry, do you think, between the two players? Obviously, we just played Romford yesterday, Sunday night, rather. So,
oh, 100%. There's still the rivalry. It's a bit different being on a different side of the rivalry, but for me, it's different personal reasons as well. Obviously, you want to win against your old team, but it's the local derby as well. You see some of the boys at Romford that used to play at Chelmsford, like Elliot Dervish, Tom Wilson, and like Courtney Grant and Donald.
Yeah.
You see the likes of them, and you can see how much they're up for it. And that gives you even more of an emphasis to win the game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could definitely see that in the game on Sunday. There was times when it was very physical and there was that real element of a derby. But I think they did quite well to slow the pace of the game down.
Yeah. Romford play very unorthodox, really. They don't have many systems they stick to, but they're so young and energetic all the time, and they have that energy, but they were calming to play down very well, I think.
Yeah, I think in my match report, I spoke to a few people, did renown that I think Anderson was absolutely terrific for them on Sunday. He's certainly a character.
Yeah, he's a good kid. He trains a lot. He's on a two-way, obviously, run for the first team. Yeah. So he's playing in the National Division. He's putting up points there as well. So he's doing well for himself, yeah. But
yeah,
so we've got to find a way to shut him down in that instance and stop him being able to control the play.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, I mean, I think the overtime period was a good competitive period that we controlled the first part of. But then I think he took control.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we played, it's probably our most complete game so far this year, I think. We played well for the whole 60 minutes. There was no lacks of effort or anything like that. So I think it's just unlucky. We couldn't finish our opportunities when we had them. But that happens, you know.
Yeah,
and he's got his head in their end as well. He played unreal, so that stuff happens.
Yeah, and the overtime period in hockey is the same as like a shootout, isn't it? It's just a lottery, really. It's with that next goal wins element.
Yeah, exactly. You sort of kind of a roll of a dice. You got to play keep puck, but at the same time, you do need to obviously go for your chances.
Yeah. So you had a bit of time in the Chelmsford youth set up as well. Does this feel like sort of coming home, coming to the Chieftains?
It feels a bit weird when I first come over, to be fair, but the boys were very good when I settled in. The first training session there settled in nicely. A load of guys I played against before and a couple of guys that now come into like the lineup that I played with. So yeah, it's been nice coming over, but it's a bit weird coming over really, considering I played there as a junior as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like the rink there? Because obviously the old Romford rink is gone now, but the sort of the setup at Chelmsford, does that feel homely for you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a nice setup. Seeing obviously juniors train, and then obviously we train after them on Tuesday and Thursday. It's kind of what I used to do as a kid, and see the Chieftains get on the ice.
Yeah, that sort of acts like a little bit of a G up for you. That, you know, if I work hard, I can get there.
Yeah, exactly that.
So, did you work with Mark at all at Romford?
Yes, I had a season under Mark, but I knew Mark from when I was at Guildford. I played a couple of 2 years over there.
Oh, right. So
I knew Mark from over there anyway. So I knew him before he kind of come to Romford.
Yeah, I think he's terrifically well connected, isn't he, in the British hockey world? So he's.
Yeah, if you need to know someone, he would know them.
Yeah. Do you think Mark and coaches in general, they would prefer, especially the young lads, to be, you know, sort of settled down, stable job, stable life, rather than wanting to party every weekend?
I think yes and no. Like, we're young and we've got to enjoy our lives as well, as it doesn't always work out in hockey for everyone. So you need to obviously enjoy yourself. And if you do make it pro, then fair play to you. But at the same time, you do need to enjoy yourself away from hockey as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's really good to hear you say that, because we've spoken with some of the other lads about obviously the level of commitment that you have to put in. And I mean, I can kind of see amongst you guys, you've got a great camaraderie. I'd imagine a team night out is a great laugh.
Yeah, it's a very good room this year. I was quite surprised when I come over at the start of the year and see how well everyone kind of got on from like the get-go sort of thing. Like every week when we go to train, it's not like, oh, we've got to go again. It's actually kind of excited to go and looking forward to it sort of thing. So it's a great room. It's probably one of the best rooms I've been in. So that's a great thing as well.
Yeah, real shame to lose Lids as well.
Oh, Lidsy, yeah. Chuckle brother. Yeah, no, he was good, Lids. He was a good fella. We sit next to him in the room. We used to have a nice little chat every week. See each other's week's gone. But no, he's a good guy, but he's got to take the opportunity. He's coming to the end of his career. Basingstoke have given him the opportunity. And considering he's played there for a couple of seasons before, he's got to go back and give it his last shot kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame him for taking that shot at the higher level at his age.
No, not at all, mate.
So are you a hockey fan in general? Do you follow the NHL or any other British leagues?
Not at all.
Oh, really?
No, I don't. You see, like Hockey Fights UK, they post a few videos. But I don't really enjoy watching hockey, really. It's kind of like chilling and watching other sports kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's sort of a 50-50 amongst the lads that I've spoken to, that some will like love the sport and be almost like nerds about it. And then others just like, you know what, I love playing it. I don't want to watch it.
Because I know I heard Ollie say that he doesn't really watch and follow the NHL really either.
No, Ollie doesn't, no. I think I'm quite looking forward to speaking to Matt Turner because I think he's a massive hockey nerd of what I've been told. So.
Oh, he loves hockey.
Yeah,
he absolutely loves it.
So have you, is it, not actually watching it as a sport, do you enjoy any of the hockey films?
Yeah, classic Mighty Ducks, The Miracle. Yeah, they're all good films. I've watched them many times.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been Mighty Ducks is what got me into hockey. I think I was probably about, well, showing my age, probably about 10 or 11, I think, when that came out. So,
God. Yeah, that was some years ago. But you should probably try and lace them up soon.
Well, we did have this chat, didn't we, on the ice?
We did, but we haven't seen any evidence of being on the ice yet.
Well, I did have skates on that night, and I managed to stay on my feet.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, as I said, I've got no ligaments in my right knee, so I think if I tried to sort of skid stop, I honestly just think my leg would dislocate.
Yeah, it's probably not the best idea, then, is it?
But I have been contacted by a couple of the guys from the Chelmsford Reapers, one of the rec teams.
All right.
And I am at some point this year going to go up and have a session with them and just see if I can do it. Because it was a sport I always wanted to have a go at, but I was never really in the position to as a kid. I had a go at a bit of roller hockey on inlines. So I could do that. That's why I kind of know myself. I could probably get the motion of the game.
Yeah.
But I spent a lot of my youth playing football until it wrecked my knee. And then I did a bit of boxing. So I think physically I'd probably be able to handle myself on the ice. But whether I'd be good enough
to do it all at once.
Yeah. But no, I think I'll say after we had that chat, I didn't get to actually finish it with you. But I am going to have a go before the season's out.
Yeah, that'll be good to see how you get on.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be joining the room at any point, but it'd certainly be a good laugh to have a go. So we know from speaking to Cal Burnett that you like a little nurse's outfit.
Right, let's clear this up. So he hasn't told the whole story. So he only told part of it. So the reason it all come about was because I took him to hospital when he broke his wrist. And when we were in hospital, one of us went to the toilet and in the toilet was a nurse's outfit. And as a joke, I said, I'll put it on because, you know, your mate's upset. He's just broken his wrist. He has to have an operation. So let's try to cheer him up. So I put the nurse's outfit on as a laugh. And from then on, he has a thing that I am obsessed with nurses. So I actually think it is Cal that's obsessed with nurses, really.
So you've not got any other fancy dress fetishes then? Just that one?
No. Not at all.
Brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. He's a good lad, Cal is. I think, and obviously you two played together in the past. He's been helping you out in the gym this year as well.
We started at the start of the year, but it's sort of kind of phased away a little bit at the minute because obviously we've both been busy with work. So we get home and it's near enough leaving straight away. So you have to have time, find time to have some dinner. So
yeah.
Yes, we kind of sacked it off for a little bit just so we can get work away before Christmas. But yeah, hopefully we start up again soon.
Yeah, but keeping up with him in the gym must be a mission in itself.
Yeah, he works out like 3 times a day. Like,
yeah.
We go to the gym, he's like, oh, it's my third session today, and it's crazy.
Yeah, you said when you so kindly did teammates for us over the Christmas break that he how much he loves the gym. I know it's obviously his job as well, so it's
yeah, like some of the time he runs classes and kind of jumps in with them and joins in and kind of interacts with all them as well. So
yeah, it's sort of thing you've got to enjoy it. I mean, if you're going to sort of get on the fitness thing, you've got to enjoy it. I spoke to Bailey earlier this week. He's going to get back on the diet and the training. He's hopefully should be back on the ice soon.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm doing the same. The missus has booked the summer holiday, and I'm now looking in the mirror thinking, oh my God, I'm not summer holiday ready. Yeah. I've got a few questions from some of the listeners, mate, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've got one from Sophia Gatland, otherwise known as the Sign Girl. Do you prefer rollerblading skating or skateboarding?
Rollerblading, probably. I'm not very good on skateboard.
No, have you done a little bit on wheels?
Yeah, as a kid, yeah, a little bit here and there, but nothing really serious playing in like roller hockey teams or anything.
No. No. So we found out earlier in the episodes, TJ actually came from that world, didn't he?
Yes, yeah, he did, yeah. He started at roller.
He said obviously that there is differences, isn't there? I'd imagine obviously things like the stopping and that is a great deal different.
Yeah, you can't stop on the roller skates, but I don't really know much about it really. There's a lot of boys in ice hockey that actually play roller as well. So, like we were saying earlier, TJ Anderson, I know he plays roller. And yeah, there is quite a few that play roller that are playing at quite high level ice hockey. So I don't know if it has any correlation to your skating style or that sort of thing.
No, definitely the hand eye, I suppose, that keeps it all in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But I've got one here from Daisy Arben. If ice hockey got banned, what other sport would you play?
I'd probably play rugby again.
Yeah, a bit more the physical side again. And
yeah, I used to play rugby as a kid, but then it started getting too much when I moved over to Guildford. So it was kind of you train rugby on a Saturday morning, play a hockey game in the evening, and then South West Saturday night, rugby game Sunday morning, and then hockey again Sunday night. So yeah, it was getting a bit too much at that time.
Yeah, God, that certainly is a schedule.
Yeah, my dad wasn't too impressed, but
yeah, that's something I do hope to get on the podcast actually before the end of this season. Is one of the hockey parents, especially for maybe one of the kids in our academy, because the distances they're travelling and the time and effort that has to be put in is just phenomenal.
Yeah, there's massive commitment from us, but it does stem from your parents as well, whoever's taking you to training and stuff and games as a kid. That's what mainly must tire them out so much.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously then if you stick at it and you get to, you know, where you guys are, it's probably worth it, isn't it, to see you enjoying hockey at a good level?
Yeah, yeah. No, my dad and brother come to every single home game. They've been to a couple of away games this year. They love it. So I guess it's kind of a hobby for them to go and watch it as well at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I've discussed this a few episodes ago, actually, that it's, you know, some of the people that come, I mean, myself included, I just work all week and, you know, family life at home. But I look forward to going to hockey at the weekend.
Yeah, it's something different as well, isn't it? You don't normally see it on the TV. So it's something different. It's your local team as well. So
yeah,
an extra thrill to it, I guess.
Yeah. I've got an anonymous one here. What's your favourite moment on the ice for the Chieftains?
Probably scoring against Romford at home, the first goal of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one. Especially with Ethan as well. He just left Romford's first team. So that was quite nice, both of us to get a point there at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, the following week, it was kind of announced that you got a second goal, but you didn't, did you?
Oh, not a chance. That was definitely Rainer's goal.
Yeah, it was. I think that was on December the 18th, wasn't it, against Milton Keynes?
Yeah, Milton Keynes at home, the charity game we had.
Yeah, I think did he tip in your shot?
Yeah, you can see it in the video. The puck changed direction. I was at the blue line. I just chipped it in, kind of thing. Not real hard shot, but he's very good at that, getting tips on pucks in front of the net. And yeah, it was definitely his goal without a doubt.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, cause of a little bit of confusion actually, even with myself. I never even got round to re-recording, but it's yeah. When the EAHL eventually get round to giving us some stats, I'm sure they'll get it right.
It's been a bit of a nightmare this year, really.
It has been. I mean, sort of mentioned earlier in the podcast, the Chieftains website, Simon Byrne, one of the fans, is doing some programming on that now.
Oh, right.
So now the match reports and he's even doing it live during the games as well. There's so many stats on there. There's sort of percentages on shots and penalties and goals. There's the table updates live as he's putting the scores in. It's really, really good now.
That's good. I might have to have a little look at that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's all there now. I got one from Instagram, Mr. Grizzles 11. It says, what position do you play and why do you play there? So are you fully a D-man?
Yeah, I've been a D-man since basically when I started, really. I haven't really got the hands for the forward, but over time, I guess, if I was playing forward, I might be able to get them. But
you've certainly got a good shot on you.
Yeah, I've got a decent shot, but my hands aren't a forward level like Ollie, the Bartlett's kind of level.
Yeah, I mean, them guys go through, but they're not there, don't they? It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I got one here from Oliver Bennett. What is the favourite moment of your hockey career?
It's probably putting the GB shirt on for the first time.
Fantastic. When was that?
When I was under 16s. So we went out to... We did a tournament in Scotland. And we also did one in Czech Republic. Oh, and we also did... The next year, so when I was the right age for GB under 16s, we did a little tournament in Swindon. It was assistant captain there, so that was pretty good as well. That was nice.
Oh, that's brilliant, mate. Fantastic. I must admit, there's quite a lot of lads in our squad that do have that international level experience, even in juniors, and it just must put you in such good stead when you're all playing together.
Yeah, you play with a lot of the guys. Like Ross, I played with in like GB. I played with him at conference as well, so... It was nice to see him come down to Chelmsford this year.
Yeah, he's been the unfortunate recipient of hit of the week this week because he got nailed by Rayner.
Rayner has a thing with hitting his own teammates a lot.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He did have a little smile as he skated back to the bench and Ross sort of floundered on the ice as Gemma's running out to him.
Bless him.
Yeah, and Ross's girlfriend was messaging me during the game asking me how the game was going. And then I've had to message her and say, he's just been nailed by Rayner, but I think he's okay.
Rayner loves it. He loves hitting his own teammate, especially Ross. Yeah, him and Ross.
So now I've got some questions from some of your teammates.
Right.
Which, as I'm sure you're probably ready for some of them. And we'll try and keep it as clean as we can.
Go on.
Cal Burnett has asked, when is your trip to Turkey? And are we talking hair, teeth or laser eye surgery?
I'm embracing the baldness. Yeah.
So you should, mate.
I'm proud.
So you should. The quicker you shave it off, the better. Shave it off and grow a beard.
Well, I can't even do that right, so... So I'm just going to be bald all over. But, yeah.
It suits Jib. I think you could go that way.
Oh, yeah. He looks good bald. He shaves his head every 2 days, he does.
Yep, so do I. It makes us look hard. Grant has asked you to tell us about your drive-through diet.
Oh, well, so Cameron, Grant and Ethan Reed are big fans of the Mackey's drive-through, they are.
Oh, yeah.
I drove past them the other day after our game, and they even had to wait up because they got that much food between them.
Do you all go to the one across from the Riverside?
No, we went to the one by the Tesco's Miami roundabout.
Oh, right, yeah.
We went near there.
Yeah. They order a bit too much, do they?
Yeah, they had 40 nuggets. That's all I know from their order.
Is it not for you, then, the drive-through diet?
No, I do love a bit good drive-through.
Yeah.
I love a drive-through.
Well, Callum will be on you, won't he? He'll be telling you to get on the protein.
Well, Cal loves a good little vegan drive-through as well. When we stop off on the way to games, it's quite hard trying to find him some vegan food sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. That serves him right. And Ross Clark has asked, how does he get a hairline like yours?
Ross, mate, I know exactly what I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. But
this is kind of coming because Ross said that you kind of gave him the Jedward nickname.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Well, it wasn't just me. I think it was some other... Might have been Leone actually might have named him that.
Yeah.
But someone else called him a llama as well. So I'd rather Jeb was than the llama.
Did you see his hair over the Christmas period?
Yes, I did. Yes, that's what I was about to say. I didn't know if anyone knew about that.
Oh, well, but, people yeah. should. We should be sharing these pictures left, right, and centre. It was pink. It was blue. I think it was. It might even be black now. I think he's.
Yeah, he's changed it back to how he used to have it. Back to black, like brown and black kind of colour. I know he's got his brother's wedding coming up, so he had to change it back.
Oh, so yeah, he had to look relatively respectable for that, did he?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, let's hope he doesn't get hit by one of his own teammates again and break his nose again. He might look a bit silly again, won't he? So then, I'm sure you're expecting this one. Kieran Rayner has asked, what is a sock off and why are you so good at it?
Rayner. yeah, that's not going to be answered. That cannot be answered, no.
Is this for keeping it for the PG?
Yeah, that's definitely keeping it PG, yeah.
Right, well, when I see you over the weekend, you're going to have to tell me.
Yeah, I can explain it to you in person, just not on the podcast.
Fantastic. Dan, thank you so much for joining me on Zero Packs Given. I've had a right laugh talking to you. It's the times I spoke to you at the rink as well. You're a lovely chap. Really enjoyed watching you play for the Chieftains. Give your all every time. Have you got any personal ambitions for the rest of the season?
Try win some silverware, I think. Just do what you can to get silverware for the team.
So we've got a big week coming up this week, haven't we? We've got the Cup semi-final this weekend.
Yes, so a massive weekend.
It is a huge weekend. So some, you know, hopefully get some of the lads back from injury as well. Have a nice full roster going down to Slough on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need a big full roster and hit Saturday running hard against Slough.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the better of us last time down there, didn't they? I think it was 3-1.
Yeah, it was a bit of a scrappy game down there the last time. There's such a young team. Like I was saying about Romford earlier, it's just around about to shut them down and hit them running as well.
Yeah, I think that's... and I would imagine then we'd be looking at, I think it's Solent or Invicta in the other side of the draw. So it's a cracking Cup semi-final lineup.
Yeah, it's nice to see Streatham's not in it as well.
Yeah, they had a few issues, didn't they? I think Antonov was suspended after he kicked one of the Romford players in the head at the playoffs last year.
Yeah, so he didn't sit his full ban because obviously their team thought that it would pre-season would account for it, but it didn't.
Yeah, but it didn't, yeah. So I think the game they beat us in the Cup got reversed to 5-0, and I think two other of their games got put to 5-0 as well, so... Yeah, they ended up at the bottom of that group, but they're still looking quite strong in the league, and obviously there'll always be a challenge in the playoffs. But I think with us all going into the playoffs, I mentioned on the last episode, Romford are so far behind on games, they're going to have a massive say in where everyone finishes.
Yeah, exactly that, mate.
So you never know. We could end up with Essex Derbies as a playoff quarterfinal.
We could do actually. Yeah, thinking about it, we're kind of around the same sort of area in the league.
Yeah, if they end up fourth and fifth, I can see that happening.
Yeah, no, they'll be very good games, no matter what, who we get and who anyone gets. They will all be good playoff games.
Yeah, they always are. Playoff hockey is fantastic. Anyone who's not seen it, once they start, even before, you know, I think we've only got 5 home league games left now. So get down, fill up the Riverside for them home league games. And then playoff hockey is just ferocious.
It's a completely different style of hockey, really. Yeah. You're playing like it's your last time playing for the year, really.
Yeah, and I don't think it's actually been announced where the showpiece will be yet. I don't know if they're waiting to see if Lee Valley gets finished.
I'm not a clue, mate, to be honest. I'd have thought it would be at Milton Keynes again, but don't hold me to that. I don't have any idea on anything.
No, I mean, I know it was at MK last year and they've got a great facility up there, but I'd imagine if Lee Valley's finished, they might try and host it there because that is looking incredible.
Is it? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, there's actually going to be 2 pads inside. But
I believe they're meant to get it done before the Olympics, but with budget and everything, they had to kind of hold it off.
Yeah, but I drove past it the other day, and from the outside, it just looks phenomenal. It looks like a proper arena.
Yes, that's good.
So, anyway, mate, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure to chat to you.
No worries, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Good luck for training this week, and good luck for the Cup semi-finals this weekend, and I'll see you over the weekend.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers, nice one. Cheers, buddy.
Thank you to Dan Hitchens for joining me there on Zero Pucks Given. Great to have a chat with Dan. Every time I chat to him, he's always smiley, upbeat, always like having a chat with Dan. So thanks again for coming on, mate. Fixtures then for this week. We do have the Britain Cup semi-final weekender. So Saturday we are down to the Hangar to face Slough Jets before they come back to the Riverside on the Sunday. So a two-legged tie. The best score will win over the two games, like an aggregate setup. So yeah, let's get as many people down to Slough as we can. I think there's tickets on the door. They may still have some parking issues around the Hangar, so I would check the Slough Jets social medias for any details regarding that. And then the home game at the Riverside on the Sunday night. Of course, this is a cup game, so if you have a season ticket, you will still need to purchase tickets for this cup game and get in there quick, because we are tend to be selling out most home games now. So thanks again to all my guests that have come on today, to Stephen Matthews, to James Irons, the Elite League referees. Really, really great to get their perspective on things. And again, of course, to Dan Hitchens for joining me. Episode 13, done and dusted. Really, really enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy it too. We'll see you next time. This podcast is hosted by Anchor on Spotify. It is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast outlets. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to get notifications about new episodes. Follow us on social media, Instagram at Zero Pucks Given Podcast, Twitter at Zero Pucks Pod, YouTube at Zero Pucks Given, email zeropucksgivenpodcast@gmail.com. The music in this podcast is taken from Spotify and I do not own the tracks. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.